spaces are getting used for different things, and that's what I love about this project is this church has been used for things that are church related, community related, and now it's just adjusting the mix. It's just a different community use of that space.
It's an evolution that almost every building goes through.
Yeah. We are here with Steve Funk from Murata Main Architects. Steve is the project man. What is your title?
Project architect.
Project architect for the low barrier emergency shelter that's coming into our basement right now. I don't know if you can hear the beeping from the construction, but it's happening right beneath our feet.
Yeah.
So welcome. Yeah. Thanks for coming to speak with us.
Thank you.
And then also with me here is Jason Burgess.
Hello.
Our media specialist and podcast extraordinaire.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming. We're on a little bit of a journey as we are learning as much as we can about homelessness in Lancaster, the crisis with affordable housing that is kind of interrelated with that, and then about the shelter and how it functions and what the updates are with the shelter. So we're doing all of those things over the next several months.
Okay.
We have spoken with Larry Richardson with the YMCA.
Yes, which we haven't heard from just yet, but he'll be following this episode.
Yeah, he will be he'll be after this one, you think?
Somewhere in there. I'm trying to measure them out into a chronological order. So that's why we're happy to talk to you here today, Steve, because I figure you're pretty early in this process.
So if you would, tell us just a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from Lancaster County. Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised. I've lived and worked in the city for 36 years now as an architect. I've worked for different firms for about 20 plus years. I had my own firm. I left that firm almost a year ago and have been working with Murata Main since then. So my background, primarily in my own firm, I was actually designed a lot of affordable housing. Hmm. That's the majority of my professional experience. But then now working with Murata Main, we have a much, much broader range of project types. We do a lot of schools, secondary schools, primary and secondary schools, some university work, and then projects like this, for public entities, for nonprofits.
Where did you get your training?
I graduated from Penn State.
I'm curious why affordable housing was so much a part of your portfolio?
Well, it was kind of, the reasoning was kind of twofold. I mean, there was obviously a need for affordable housing, and the firm I worked for prior to starting my own firm, that's kind of where I got my feet wet in affordable housing. That firm kind of specialized in affordable housing. And then when I formed a partnership and started my own firm, we continued that, because there was definitely a need for affordable housing. There was always new work to come in.
Sure.
So, and it would, for a small firm like ours, it was, sustainable work.
Makes sense.
Doing affordable housing.
So then with your experience in Lancaster, what are some of the unique characteristics of turning buildings into housing units or a use like this? What's unique about this area that an architect would say, all right, you run into this and this just about every time?
Say Lancaster City in particular, there's not a lot of open land for new construction. The city is, I don't know what the percentage is, but it might be 85, 90% built out. There just isn't vacant land for new construction.
Mm-hmm.
There is, now it's changed over the years. I mean, I've been doing this for, almost 40 years. And earlier in my career, there were a lot of abandoned or underutilized commercial buildings, industrial buildings, tobacco warehouses, old factories, things like that, that could be converted into housing or any other use, really. I mean, done a lot of different mixed-use projects over the years that included housing and commercial and retail. Lancaster is kind of at a tipping point and has been in the last, over the last few years. Is basically almost every old tobacco warehouse or old commercial building, old industrial building, has already been converted to lofts. There's really been a building boom over the last, say, 10, 15 years. In the city. That's why you're seeing kind of the next phase of development in Lancaster is new construction. You're seeing
those
more
high rises.
You're seeing the new high rises going up because there's really great need for housing, both market rate and affordable. The existing housing stock doesn't really match what the needs are of the population. You know, the majority of the residential units in the city are single-family homes. Mm-hmm. And that's not the kind of housing that people are looking for anymore. You know, the family unit has changed. You know, you don't have a mom and dad and, you know, 2.3 kids anymore, you know, that have a need for that kind of house. You have a lot more singles or couples and looking for apartments that the city just doesn't, there just aren't enough of them. And that's why you're starting to see high rises. So far there haven't been, I mean, because Lancaster does have a strong kind of tradition of historic preservation and trying to maintain the historic fabric that we have, the new high rises that you're seeing going up are going up in parking lots. Oh. You know, there's not a whole lot of demolition going on. For the new construction. The new one that's just finished up on Queen Street, that was a parking lot. We're seeing some demolition of, you know, minor buildings, but you're not seeing wholesale demolition for big new high-rise projects. Mm-hmm. In addition to being an architect, I've sat on the Historical Commission for quite a few years. So I see the projects, the proposals that are coming in.
How did you get attached to this particular project, the low barrier emergency shelter?
It was in the very early stages when I started working for Murata Main. So I was assigned as the kind of design lead for the project. I mean, the project had already started and there was the program had already been established. So that was kind of my first assignment when I started working for Murata Main.
Is this your first low barrier shelter that you're designing?
It is. Yeah.
And I'm just curious you've done some shelter work before or?
Well, I've done kind of, I'll say shelter adjacent. Uh-huh. I've done a couple, apartment buildings, mm-hmm. And some design work for public entities, nonprofits, in Harrisburg and here in Lancaster that were designed for people that were had experienced homelessness, and we were providing apartments for those individuals that had you know, were kind of coming out of homelessness. It was kind of their first,
like a transitional.
So I did a project probably about 10, 15 years ago. Here in Lancaster, and another one in Harrisburg, north end of Harrisburg, that was for homeless veterans. So I have, you know, some, as I said, some kind of peripheral experience with that population, but I haven't, this is my first shelter project.
I assume all the amenities, I guess, to the space were something that you built around, like the heat treatment room and...
Yeah. And honestly, this project is kind of my first experience with that is, I mean, I've worked on projects before that have had, you mentioned the heat treatment room is for to treat for bed bug infestation. Yeah. I've worked on projects where we've had an apartment building that's been infested with bed bugs and we've had to renovate the building and use the heat treatment basically through the whole building. And the existing residents had to be rehoused during the renovation of the project. And then when they came back, all of their belongings had to be heat treated again to make sure that they didn't bring bed bugs back into the building afterwards. So, this is the first project that I've done that we've actually had a facility, you know, a room where you can do that on site.
I know I've talked to some people who are familiar with shelters and their, that was the first thing they said, you know, you're just going to end up with bed bugs. And they were excited for me to share with them that this facility was going to have a treatment.
It's going to be set space. Up properly for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. yeah. So anyone that's, they will be able to take that individual's belongings, put them into the room, crank the heat up to 125 degrees, and, you know, 90 minutes later, their belongings are pest-free.
Yes.
Since we have a member of the guild, the architect, the one who is trained and knows how to deal with this stuff, I think this is a unique opportunity to pick your brain about the architectural aspects of this particular project, because there's so many different aspects of this project. Mm-hmm. So actually, that would be the first one I want to go to, is how have you been able to, as an architect, herd these cats through this process, right? Because that's what an architect does. An architect is like a shepherd of a project.
Yeah, in some respects. I hadn't really thought about it in that way, but yeah.
Yeah, how you've got multiple organizations that are involved, but you have one that's your primary, is it the Redevelopment Fund?
LCHRA? Well, it's the Lancaster County Housing and Redevelopment Authority.
And that's the primary stakeholder.
That's our client.
Yeah.
And then there are other entities. I mean, the Lancaster County Housing and Redevelopment Authority is kind of the umbrella organization for the other organizations below it that are kind of driving this project. There's the Homelessness Coalition. There's the Lancaster Redevelopment Fund is the nonprofit entity that's actually the contracting authority, you know, that's where the technical, you know, the technical developer of this project is the Lancaster Redevelopment Fund, mm-hmm. Which is a nonprofit. Yeah, and they're just multiple agencies within, you know, our, so we really have more than one client. You know, the YMC has come on as the operator, and they've not become a client, but they've kind of become a partner mm-hmm. in the project that have helped to steer the project. Once they were brought on, then they became part of the design process because they have experience in running shelters. They, you know, they operate a shelter in York County.
Yeah.
So they were able to bring that experience to help inform the design for this particular shelter.
And then you have Otterbein, which is the landlord more than anything.
Right.
But it's also a retrofit, I think, would be the tech, you know, what we would call this project. Yeah. And the organization continues to use the space mm-hmm. while the retrofit is happening and will be using the space when the shelter, you know, is in place.
Right. Yeah.
So you have that aspect. And that's when I came into the process was, and when I met you the first time, was learning, okay, here's how you're trying to help design a space that meets multiple stakeholders' needs.
Right, because the Redevelopment Authority in the shelter is not the, you know, the only user of the building. As you said, you know, the church will still continue to use the building, you know, primarily, you know, the areas of the building outside of the shelter, but it also had to be designed for the church's use of the shelter space itself during the evening hours, during the overnight hours. There's no one in the shelter during the day, so the space it needs to be flexible so that it can be used by the church as well for their, you know, their needs. So that was a challenge trying to, you know, kind of balance those kind of competing interests.
How do you tell the listeners about the space? Roughly how many square feet is it?
Overall, it's about 8,000 square feet. The basic shelter itself is about 5,000 square feet. And that is primarily sleeping area. It's designed for 80 individuals. And then there are functional spaces like offices. There's the heat treatment room, toilet rooms, showers, things like that, storage rooms. There's also in-house laundry. Yeah, the original space that we're retrofitting had been kind of a community space, a gathering space. It was also used for performances. There was a stage. We've redesigned it as a raised platform for shelter staff. It's an observation platform that they can kind of see over the entire kind of 5,000 square feet of the shelter area.
Yeah. Spaces are getting used for different things, and that's what I love about this project is this church has been used for things that are church-related, community-related, and now it's just adjusting the mix. It's just a different community use of that space.
It's an evolution that almost every building goes through.
Yeah.
There are many buildings downtown in Lancaster and all over the county, all over the country, that are repurposed, for new uses because their original use is no longer viable.
What's unique to this particular project? So we've got a low barrier emergency shelter. We've got different considerations for a use like this than you would for a normal church use. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the unique things that you had to think through?
We knew kind of going into this project, because we were in such a kind of compressed timeline, that we had to start construction by a certain point so that we could open the facility by a certain date.
Actually, let's stop there for a second.
Okay.
Audience that's listening to this, that would be another design, kind of a unique design situation that you had to deal with. And that's a compressed timeline.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because you make certain design decisions based on how quickly something can be built. You know, you might make different choices if you had all the time in the world for something. There are some things like elevators, unfortunately, just take a long time.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot involved in it. There's a lot of engineering. And you're kind of at the mercy of the elevator manufacturers. Another driver is the fact that, you know, you have two very different uses. The church use is considered an assembly use, whereas the shelter is technically considered a residential use, transient residential. You know, people don't live there, but they sleep there. And from a building code standpoint, there are very different requirements and different needs between an assembly use and a residential use. You know, people that are sleeping are basically considered more vulnerable to fire and emergencies.
Yeah.
So there are requirements for a sprinkler system for a residential use. Whereas if it's an assembly use, people are...
They're awake and
they're
can
awake,
get out.
They're aware, they can get out. Actually, in the process now of creating a 2-hour fire barrier between the residential use in the basement and the assembly use upstairs. The use of the shelter is a nighttime use, so there typically won't be anyone in the church.
Right.
While the shelter is being used, but you also do want to keep a separation of the two different uses. You don't want to have people being able to just wander through the church at night. So there were some considerations to trying to any kind of passage from one section of the building to another is controlled through a security system, through a key fob system.
Yeah.
And that's also related to kind of fire safety, life safety. You know, we had to upgrade the stair towers or the exits that were being used by the shelter. Had to be upgraded to current code standards. You know, as a use as a church, as an assembly use, the building is grandfathered. It was built for that purpose. So it was, the fact that it didn't meet current building code standards. But when you change the use of a building, you have to bring it up to current standards. So in the stair towers in particular that were used as exits for the shelter had to be upgraded to modern building code standards. The other aspect that was difficult or different from other buildings was the fact that it's a basement. You have accessibility issues. You have to provide an elevator so people can people with disabilities can get in and out of the space.
Yeah.
And even from a from an exiting standpoint, you know, you're below grade, so you've got to, you know, you've got to take a stair up to get out of the building. And because you're in a basement, you know, there's the possibility of moisture.
Yeah, water intrusion.
So, yeah. We've addressed that. You know, we've put in a foundation drainage system. We're waterproofing the exterior walls so that the new space, you know, is kind of safe, comfortable.
You know, about the safe, comfortable, you know, this is a place where people are coming to go to sleep. Sure, in this project, you know, there's a limited budget for various sort of cosmetic things. But I'm just curious what you were able to get in there that may have made the space more inviting to the individuals who are coming in, or if there was even an ability to do that.
Yeah, I mean, as designers, you kind of always, you know, you want to do that.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of this project, it really is, you know, it's kind of, this project is really providing the most basic of human needs, and that's a shelter, you know, a space that's safe and a space that's comfortable. And beyond that, there aren't, you know, there's not a whole lot else. So, you know, you provide the basics, you provide a space that's, you know, that's warm, you know, in the winter and cool in the summer, and
provide safety.
And provide safety.
Now, I know there are services planned at other locations. I'm thinking of the Prince Street.
Yes, the Prince Street Hub. That is another shelter that's supposed to be breaking ground in December, I believe.
So once this
one is up and running, they will be breaking ground on the second shelter, the Prince Street Hub, which will provide more amenities.
Designing for this particular shelter is utilitarian in a sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we provide just, you know, just the basics, really, a place to sleep, place to wash. So there's not, there are not a whole lot of other amenities. And really, you know, all we can do is to make the place, this space, comfortable and pleasant space to be in is really kind of selection of materials and colors, you know, we have, but those materials all have to be durable. You know, they'll probably, you know, with the number of people that this space is being designed for, it will, you know, take some abuse.
Well, and so, I'm thinking the ability to shower is just a tremendous thing,
right?
A tremendous benefit of this particular shelter.
Yeah.
And there are multiple showers. I didn't count, but there's a bunch of them, and that's good.
And we have them in different, you know, we have the shelter is divided, you know, kind of
one
between
third women,
one third women, two thirds men, and 20 and 60.
And that's based on the current statistics of that we have
of the yeah, the need. Yeah. Yeah. But those, we also have kind of unisex facilities. We have several, you know, kind of toilet and combined toilet and shower rooms. The furnishings, the fixtures in the space are kind of all portable. So the arrangement can be, you know, the furniture can be rearranged for different needs, different uses over time.
Well, so I am curious, as we're now in the construction phase, what's your involvement here?
Now the construction started, you know, we have a formal construction job conference every 2 weeks. So I'm on site for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in
and
giving us your time for this and helping people understand what goes into a project like this.
Yeah, I mean, really for the short period of time that, you know, that people will be here, it's their home.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to, you know, kind of do the best you can to, you know, to provide a safe and comfortable home, you know, for the people that need it.
Yeah.
So
wonderful.
glad you tuned in today. We look forward to chatting again in the next episode of Hey, Hey, Anybody Listening?
Anybody there? Hey, hey, anybody listening? Anybody care?